said to us as a corporate body. And sometimes it's good. There's every blue moon I share because I'm just sharing. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'll say, why am I sharing? Maybe, but I do this morning as well as other times. I do feel like I have something. It's not going to be terribly long, but I want to share something to go into the new year with. I'm going to kind of deviate from Acts a little bit. And let me just say this too. Thank you for last week. Teen Challenge was here. You guys really blessed them. Thank you for that. I know they were blessed financially. They took home a whole bunch of food. Thank you for that. And they were happy. And I just thank you guys for blessing them and praying for them and ministering them. Anything you did, just thank you. It's a worthwhile ministry. And Pastor Bob was here a couple weeks ago. You guys remember that. He was very complimentary of you group, of this group here, which is always a good thing. And I've been speaking some on Acts, but I want to kind of go. I didn't know I was going to do this, but I want to speak some. Andrew might have touched on it to some degree about 2019. And I was sharing with Andrea, I'm actually not one, I'm not afraid to say, I've always kind of blown off New Year resolutions and New Year goals. I just have. I don't know why. And the Lord spoke to me the need to do that in my personal life. I think it's important. And I want to share some about that. I have some things about goals, and I have some things about hearing. Let me read a passage real quick in Philippians. Just stay with me, and I'm going to get to what I want to get to. Paul writes in Philippians, and it's one of my favorite passages, and I'm just going to do one little thing about it. I'm not going to dissect it, but it says, brethren, this is Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14. You can just listen to me. It says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Let me stop right there real quick and just say, you know, you can't really do anything about something that happened in the past, but I have decisions I can make in the future. And once again, don't drive in life looking in the rearview mirror, or you're going to get yourself hurt from someone else. Don't just live on memory lane. Okay, God has something new for you. It says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus for the goal. One thing that Paul was, and I want to say this about having specific goals, and I want to do something, how we get those goals. I'm going to come to something, I'm going to kind of skip around in my message. But sometimes as we go through life, I know for me, I was just talking to my wife recently, probably the last 5 years, well, since we got Owen 7 years ago, sometimes life just hits you, and it's like you're going along, and you feel on top of everything, then everything starts kind of going, and like, oh, what do? I'm just constantly treading water in some ways, which I've felt like for a while. And sometimes in life, we set off with these things that the Lord puts within our heart, and we get distracted by life, and we get discouraged by life. Sometimes it's things that people say to us and put within us. You can't do this. You're not smart enough for this. Who says you can own your own home? Who says you can do this with your job? You can get a promotion. You don't have the right education. You don't know the right people. You don't have this. You don't have that. And sometimes discouragement can set in because I'm paying more attention to what's going on here than I am with the Lord. Sometimes it's based on how I hear. And sometimes we allow toxicity to get within us. And sometimes that's discernible. So, because of how, what I speak. And sometimes out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if I guard, you know, I was thinking when we had Owen took speech therapy a few years back. And when he went to speech therapy because he wasn't saying some words, you know, that he needed to be saying at his age, the first thing they did was, guess what they did? They tested his hearing. Okay? Because often, in my hometown, there's the Eastern North Carolina School for the Deaf. And so all the kids from Eastern Carolina will go to the School for the Deaf. And it's a nice school, and we used to play them in middle school basketball. And I hated it because they were so aggressive, and they couldn't hear. And so everything was just different. But one of the things there is that their speech was different, if you're around that, because they can't hear. Okay? There's a spiritual principle in that. Sometimes if my speech is off, it means maybe I'm not hearing the right things. I'm paying attention to what's going on here in the earth rather than what the Lord's speaking in the heavens. And it's important that we keep that in mind. Sometimes how I speak is depending on how I hear. Amen? Or it says, take it. Let me find. And sometimes too, hearing. Do you remember when Elijah was on the mountain? He was having a pity party. And the Lord came and says, an earthquake. And it was this and it was that. And he said, it's fine. There's still small voice. And the Lord was in the still small voice. One of the hardest things to do, and this is an area where I know even for me with my kids, I'm thinking of, even me, I didn't have all the technology they have. And we have, I think it was even the guy that started Facebook said that going into it, he had to quit because he knew it was going to screw up the kids' brains. And you start getting wired a certain way. I'm sure Aaron could know this, depression levels are higher because of all the social media and all the things that are constantly pulling at us. You know, sometimes it's good just to get off social media if you find it messing with you and your emotions. Just get away from it and get, because maybe you're listening to the wrong things and getting the wrong perspectives. But sometimes it's just a process of listening, which is what I'm going to do Tuesday night. Sometimes I don't have to strive to do that. Sometimes if you notice, the Lord will speak to me when I'm washing my hair in the shower or something, because I'm not striving for it. I'm just going, the Lord just starts dropping because I'm coming at it from a place of rest. Okay, and it's Samuel, Lord, give your servant a hearing ear. Yeah. I can hear. And Saul, give me a hearing. Samson, give me a hearing. So Lord, that we can be able to hear what the Lord is saying. It's important that I can take time out of a commotion of life to get and hear with what the Lord is saying. Because oftentimes, as this relates to goals, oftentimes, if I have something that the Lord's put within my heart, no matter how big or small, and I allow other things to interfere, it can take me off the track of those things, right? Because I'm hearing other voices. And the Lord says, don't listen, or don't turn, but listen to me. Mark chapter 4, verse 23 through 24. He says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. That's in Revelation as well. Ears to hear, your spiritual ears. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. So pay attention what you hear, what comes in. For with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. So I put to use how I hear. It's important how I hear, that I can hear, and it's also important that I put it to use how I hear. Amen? Okay, and that goes. So, for example, I'm going to give you at the end kind of ways I'm making goals for myself this year. But I read this week a story. I want you to listen because I think it'll stick with you. And it was a guy who went to a circus. I haven't been to a circus in years. And you got the big elephants. And if you think about it, these big elephants are big enough to just run over everybody and just destroy the whole place, but they don't. And he says, one of the way they train them is through this, is when they're smaller, they're a couple hundred pounds, and it kind of bothers me to hear what they do to them, but it's what they do to train them. They will take them and they'll tie them to a chain and drive a stake in the ground, and so every time they try to leave, they can't do it. They can't do it. They're only 200 pounds. They can't do it. And he says, so when they get older, what they do, they're then massive animals who can just run through the circus. But they have a great memory, but they're not very smart. And so when you put the chain on them when they're that age, their memory says, I'm tied to this chain and I can't go anywhere. And so they're constantly held put. Even though the Lord's given them terrain, they just run all over everything. Their memory, their past, what happened to them, keeps them tied in the same place they've always been. And I think that's a great illustration for us. And the chain can be something, it can be something someone said to you. It can be a mentality you have. It can be like Elijah, it can be a pity party that you have. I've been there myself, it's not pointing fingers. But I can be free to move and flow, but I'm constantly tied to something in the past. Remember, don't live on memory lane. And something's constantly keeping me down. Or it's not strong enough to hold me from walking two steps. I'm remembering, I'm saying, I can't go anywhere because that chain held me back years ago. Amen? And sometimes there's a few things I want to just a quick little pointers to give you in areas where I think I can set goals for my life and have things for my life. And you know what? If you say I've set this goal and I'm behind on it, do you know what? I set a goal to do something before I was the age of 30 and I didn't do it. I said, I'm going to do it before the age of 40, actually. Okay, if you say, you know what, I didn't do something that I set up, you're still here. You still have time. and it's still time to start pressing and stepping into what God has called you to do, okay, and not allow, you can't do that. I've had people tell me I can't do things before. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me if he's the one who's anointing and enabling it, amen?
Amen.
And so there's a few things I just want to share, quick little points. My sheep hear my voice, but let me read this. Don't turn there, but listen. In Mark chapter 6, verse 5 through 6, it says, now he could do, speaking of Jesus, he could do no mighty work there. We stop there. That's a principle of the kingdom of God. Sometimes we say, well, Jesus could have just done anything. It says he could do no mighty work there. I'm going to tell you why. It says, because except they laid his hands on a few people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief, then he went about in the villages and the circuit teaching. Jesus couldn't move and function and flow there the way he wanted to, because I call it sin of familiarity. And if you read on previously, the people, they said, who is this? He's coming. We know we know Joseph. We know his siblings. We know Mary. He's a carpenter. He might have done some work for us a couple years ago. Who is this guy? One of the top ways, I'm going to tell you this of a truth now, and I would say this no matter where I am. One of the top things that can hinder the flow of the Spirit of God in your life and in a church is familiarity. What does that look like? It looks like this. Kevin's teaching a class Thursday. I know good old Kevin. I eat with him downstairs. You know, I don't need to go, but I know Kevin. Okay? What is that? I'm so familiar. It happens especially in a smaller church. I'm so familiar, I can miss out on something because I'm too familiar to receive. I remember when my brother came here. Let me just shift in this gear. My brother's not wanting to do this. He came in August, and he said something. He was in the back, and he said, I forget the exact words, but he said, what this community needs to be turned to Jesus is sitting right here in this room. Sometimes it takes someone from the outside to come in, because I can be here, and I can be so familiar with this and with that, with this person and with that person. Sometimes my wife might have the word of the Lord for me, and she's my wife. And she's got the word of the Lord for me, and I could miss out on something because familiarity. My pastor, I'm not saying this in relation to me, but we did this to my pastor growing up. He would get to go to speaking conferences and things, and he'd be at our church. I'm like, okay, we get you all the time. And I remember his son telling me, you know, he said that he goes to these other places and they just go crazy about him. Oh, he's here. And he comes in, what's the same thing? It's just human nature. It's anything I do. It's in my family, my job, anything. Sometimes you can be so familiar with the place that you are too. Well, nothing can happen here in this place I'm in. Like, I've heard several times since I've been here, nothing can happen in New England. Nothing can happen in Pawcatuck. Nothing can happen in Stonington. Nothing can happen in Westerly. Nothing can happen. And sometimes I can get so familiar with the place, and I can take on what everyone's saying, and it becomes familiar to me. Even the speech becomes familiar, and I lose the heavenly perspective. Amen?
Amen.
It's important to recognize that and to see that. I could go on and on and on about that, but don't allow your familiarity with someone to block the flow of what God wants to do in your life.
Amen.
Okay, and that can be in a location as well. And I've said that Jesus said, or in Psalms 39, it says he's familiar with all of our ways. He's familiar with me. He doesn't get bored with me. That's pretty amazing. Let me say one more thing too. And familiar. If it's the place where you live, let me say this. Oftentimes, I've been there myself, and I've done this. I can speak to this. I will do this that God said to me when I'm in this place. When I'm in this location, when I'm over here, when I'm over there, I'm so familiar with where I am now, I'm comfortable with where I am now, I can't do it here now, I can't do it. So when I get here, I will do it. If you believe that, it's a lie, okay? It's a lie. If sometimes we're wrapped up in thinking that the purposes of God for our life, I've lived in 4 states. And I've seen in every state I've been in, every place I've been in, see different churches. Sometimes we feel like the purposes of God for our life, let me say, they don't, even if they're bigger than where you are, they don't transcend where you are, because God begins to start on those purposes right where you are, in the place where you are. David was trained in the wilderness, wasn't he? Or in the shepherd, with tending his sheep. He wasn't too big for it. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with man, did he not? When did he start his ministry? He didn't start right when he was 7 years old. He constantly grew. And if you stay, if you recognize that, and see where you are and the place where you are now, and I don't allow, well, this is just familiar, I can't do it here. No, you start here for what you have later. Amen? There also says this, again, just listen, don't turn. In Mark chapter 7, verse 8 through 13, it says, "And he said, Jesus said to them, 'All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father and mother, whatever you profit you might ever see from me is for Corbin, that's a gift to God.'" Long story short, what these guys were saying was the command of God to honor your father and mother. They had his own tradition. They said, "I'm not going to do that. I'm going to honor the temple and save the money for myself rather than giving it to my parents." And he says, then you no longer let him do anything to his father or mother. Once again, he says, making the word of God of no effect. How do we render another kingdom principle? How do we render the word of God no effect? Through your tradition, which you've handed down. Okay? I'll just ask you this, and I won't go too much into this. It's amazing, especially at Christmas time, you think about the Pharisees who knew the law and they studied it and they studied it. And they missed Jesus when he came because he didn't come the way they thought he would. Yes. If you stop and think about that, I was listening. It was a guy, John MacArthur. He's a staunch cessationist, but I enjoy listening to him. He was on Ben Shapiro's show, and I enjoyed. And he says the reason, Ben Shapiro is a Jew, and he says the reason I believe that Jesus is the Messiah is because of the Old Testament. Because there's so many messianic, there's so many prophecies in this Old Testament that point to Jesus. And it's amazing that they had all of that, and they made it into their own image. C.S. Lewis said this. He wrote a book that I don't recommend reading. it's Grief Observed. It's when his wife died. And it's depressing at the beginning of it. But he says that sometimes the Lord has to shatter your image of him. And sometimes that can be any tradition. Sometimes things, you know, aren't necessarily spelled out in the Word of God. It's just our own personal preference. And if we're not careful, I can build such a tradition around it that when someone comes to me that's different, I can reject what God is doing. Or when God wants to do something in my life that's different, even than what I think or imagine, I can reject it because I've built a tradition around my perspective of what God's supposed to do. And I've done that some in my own life, and it's something God works within me. You know, the gospel reaches every single culture. Every culture. If you go to a church in Brazil, churches would be this different cult. The gospel works everywhere because God made everybody different. It should work. And sometimes when I went to Bible school, I'll never forget it, God did a work in me because there's people from all over the world there. And different ways, different traditions. We had a guy there from Kenya. He has a big, big church and a TV program in Kenya now, Benson. And one of his crazy things, he said, "I'm not going to drink anything that's blue." I don't know why. I was like, "It's not the Bible. I can't drink blue Gatorade." And I was like, "You just want to submit this guy, does it?" But the guy, and then you go in and I go to a prayer meeting with him, and man, he touches heaven. He's got something in God I didn't have. And the Lord just dealt a blow to me. I said, you know, I can put up walls because this guy is different from me and miss something that God has for my life and increase in my life because I've made my own little traditions and I think I'm not. Sometimes, let me just say this, sometimes when I'm not religious, I can be very religious, okay? So if you think this guy drives me, this one thing that just drives me up the wall, just my own little pet peeve. But receive and be open to God doing something different than what you might think. Amen? We can miss that. A couple more things and I'm going to wind up. Another issue, and I'm going to be done with this one. Remember the story of Naaman in 2 Kings? And he went to go be healed. And Elijah said, "Go dip in there 7 times. He said, "Well, you're supposed to come out and wave your wand and do this and do that." And pride almost stopped him from getting a healing. And sometimes, let me tell you this story. I was reading, I have a book I got for Christmas. I lent it to someone years ago and I never got it back. So I said, I want that book for Christmas. And I got the book for Christmas. A guy, Tony Miller, and I mention him sometimes. He's a great minister of the Word of God in Oklahoma. And he shared a story when he was a younger man. He might have been in his 20s. He was a staff pastor at a big church. And he said, it might have been a wedding or something they had there on Saturday. And someone didn't clean. And so it was weddings. There was rice strewn all over. And he was in there Sunday morning and preparing for his youth that he was in charge of. And the pastor gave him a room and said, go do this. And he said, I went out there and did it. And the whole time I was thinking, what else can I say? The next staff meeting, sweeping. I'm called to the nations. What am I doing sweeping? And he said, right then the Lord said, how can I trust you with the nations when I can't trust you with the broom? Think about that. And he said that just touched him. And he goes to the nations today. How can I trust you with the nations when I can't trust you to sweep a floor?
That's right.
And think about that. Sometimes, how many times could pride get in the way? This not just at church. You're at the job. And I have a perception of myself at work. And my boss comes to me. I had to pick up gum off the floor one time when I was in school and I worked at this place. I was sitting there thinking, I'm too good for this, you know? How many times do we do this? I'm not going to do this because I'm too good for it. And then your boss says, okay, that's fine, I'll give it to someone else. Little do you know, he's got a promotion in mind for you in 6 months. And you just blew it because your pride got in the way of doing something you deem too small for yourself. And you say, I want to be a manager at my job. Then clean the gum off of the floor, okay? I want this, you know, relationship in my family to be different. Sometimes it's doing the small little things that we deem very insignificant. You're faithful in little, you're faithful in much. Amen? That's the principle of the kingdom. I look for it all the time, and it's very true. If you find yourself, and if this is something in your life where you find I'm not really good at things I think aren't important, or I think are beneath me, or I don't have time for, maybe you're blocking a goal you have in your life, just like Naaman almost did. It's not too late. You're here this morning. You can start doing something differently about that. Whether it's in your church, in your job, in your family, in your neighborhood, anywhere you go, nothing can be too small for you. Okay? You can never, can't be too small for you. Okay? Let me just give you some quick principles that I have, and I got these from Tony Miller. They're good. Don't just set lifetime goals, but make short-term goals as well. I'm doing that for this coming year. And so, let me say this. Do it for your spiritual life. I'm not going to let Owen whip me. I'm going to read the New Testament. Owen's going to read the Old Testament too, right? So, I'm going to read the Bible. If you never read the Bible through, make a plan. I'm going to read this amount of books this year. Okay, I was talking to Peter this morning. Sorry to say what I'm about to say. Sometimes my wife's a fast reader. I'm not. So I'm not the best reader in the world. I say that to you. But if you don't read, sometimes you don't have anything to say. I encourage you to read. Find some books. I'm going to read this book. Bill gave me a book to read this morning. Right? So I'm going to read this book. Find some books to read this. Read the Word of God. You know, incorporate fasting into your life. I'm going to fast this many days this year. That's something I do. Okay?
Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Can I steal a segue on that?
Yes.
If you got any questions about something you want to read, please take a walk through the library. There is more. I go in and just get blessed just reading the titles.
Yeah.
There is everything from Joyce Myers to Max Lucado to Marie Wordsworth Eder.
I got a Rick Joyner book in there this week that I'm reading. Yeah, it's excellent.
It's
prophetic
cramped
ministry.
And
yeah.
There's tapes and everything. There's just so much in there. It's available.
Yeah, you use it. There's a lot we're going to add to it as well. Read some books. I'm going to take this amount of time and pray. Let me encourage you too. It can be a small thing. Maybe just saying, I'm going to take the first. I shared on Christmas Eve, if you remember, about Urban Meyer, the football coach. And he said, each morning, he said, before I sign my new contract at Ohio State, I said, each morning I'm going to take the first 30 minutes and do a Bible study. He said, if I don't do that Bible study, my day is ruined. Give God the first portion of your day. He also said this, practical stuff. I take time in the afternoon to exercise. Exercise. Use your... God's given us spirit, soul, and body, right? I have to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit the Lord's given me so I can do what God's called me to do. Your family. You say, I spend time with my family every night. Spend time with your family. A goal. She told me, you told me about this last night with one of these ladies. She said, I write a love letter to my husband every couple months or something. So I want my relationship with my spouse to be better. Write them a love letter once every 2 months. Stick it somewhere where they can read it. I'm estranged from this person in my family. Send them a card. Reach out in some ways. I'm estranged from this friend, this person I haven't seen in years, and whatever happened this way or that way. I didn't share. One of the things I can block is this offense as well. And sometimes when I get offended in an area, whether it's real or perceived, I begin to build a world that's internal, and I block out everyone else, and I put up huge barriers for anyone coming in. And if you do that, if you've done that, deal with your offenses. Go to the person. I think it's in Matthew 18. Go to the person and deal with the offense. More often than not, it's just miscommunication, I've learned. I really, most of the time, it's miscommunication. Sometimes it's perceived. You work through it. If you can't work through it, then hey, you've at least done your part. But offenses, listen, I can ruin a relationship that might be a God-ordained relationship because of an offense. I can have someone offend me years ago and shut everyone else off because I'm afraid of being hurt the way that person hurt me years ago. Amen? I can do that. It's a very small world we build for ourselves when we do that because I don't let anyone in and I stay within myself and I'm constantly looking for it. If that's you, take the coming year and deal with it. Holy Spirit, help me deal with this thing. How should I approach it, you know? Sometimes it's not always wisdom to go right away. Sometimes you prepare your heart and make sure your heart's right before you do it, okay? So I do it for places. I also set goals in my job. Write it down. In Habakkuk it says, write the vision and make it plain. So I'm going to go through and write down my vision, my goals. I'm going to do this. Some of them I'm not going to tell you about. I'm doing this, 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 this. So I can see it and I can have it. And make sure it's a measurable thing. So if I'm not a reader, and I say, I'm going to read 50 books this year, I'm just going to read 50 books. You might not read 50 books. And sometimes we go from discouragement to discouragement. Like if I'm not a reader, so I'm going to read 5 books this year. Or I'm going to read 3 books this year. Sometimes there's areas in our life, too, where it's just a matter of getting healthy. You know? If I really, and I don't mean physically, I just mean emotionally. If I'm really, really, really struggling in an area, you know, sometimes too, I'm going to close. Pride, just like Naaman, sometimes can also stop us from getting, sometimes, you know, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety and wisdom, right? Okay? Sometimes I can allow pride to say, you know what, I've got something in my life, and I really need to work through it, and I really could use someone to work through it with me. How many times has pride stopped us from doing that? It's happened to me before, you know. I've needed something, and I feel like if I go to this person, what are they going to think about me? I've been there, man. I have to fight through that myself. And I begin living my life. Maybe it's something, you know, I just need to get healthy in this area in 2019, because if I'm going to do what God's called me to do, I have to work on this thing first. And maybe the Holy Spirit can just go in and fix it right for me, but some maybe He needs this person who's been there and walked through it to walk alongside of me. Find that. Find someone who can do that with you, and don't close yourself off to it because of fear what they'll think. Okay? Amen. And find some stuff and even things. I'm going to give some goals. I think it can be hard to do it in the church sometimes right now. But I'm going to give some goals for the church next week too. I'm going to try to listen and some things. There's going to be some goals even for the healing room, you know, and healings and things along those lines with certain giving. Because I want you to recognize this too. As a body of Christ, it's always important to belong to something bigger than yourself, right? I don't go to church because I have to. I go to church because I'm part of the body of Christ, okay? I'm a part of something bigger than myself. I'm a part of this church, which is bigger than me. Okay? It means that as the kingdom is his purpose and local church is his instrument. So if God wants to use this church to reach the community for Jesus, it means I play a part in something that's bigger than me. Amen. And I would encourage you to find something, pray about it. You know, is there anything, a goal you can have, even corporately, that you could fit and intertwine here? Because one thing too, it says, Paul said this one thing, it's a jack of all trades, master of none. Don't do that. Sometimes we have, I was listening to a guy, he was a Jewish rabbi, and it was business secrets from the Bible, and he was sharing, and he said one thing that his culture does is he says, we recognize that God's given all of us a unique skill set, a unique function, a unique place to fit. And we're able to function and effectively move because we all know what our place is, right? So find that one thing, even if it's just one thing. You know what? I fit here. I'm evangelistic. I have this in my mind. I'm more of an intercessor. I have this. And I don't try to make someone else to be like me, but I honor their difference and that they're part of the body of Christ. And I recognize that the body of Christ is bigger than my peace. It's bigger than my little world. It's bigger than my views and everything. It's bigger. And I'm a part of something bigger to effect change where God's called us to effect change. Amen? Amen. So just come and pray along those lines. Andrew shared something with me, and I promise you this is my last thing. And we're going to take communion, and I will let you go. In the book of Nehemiah, in our Bible reading plan, she said, did you read through the end of Nehemiah? If you read through the end of Nehemiah, it's just a bunch of names. And I said, honestly, I just skimmed it. I said, there's a bunch of names. I'm not reading that. And she said something. It's a good pastor, right? And she said something that stuck. See, I was able to listen to my wife. And it's true. Think of how the Holy Spirit noted all of those names. People who were part of rebuilding the wall for all of history to see. They might have had a small part in putting in the something over here, but the Holy Spirit recorded it because they were part of something bigger. And today, I'm sure if you read it and study it, it would be some great thing. But as I just skim it, but I look, all of those names, they all played their part, and they all fit in. God may have given them this goal, and they let nothing stop them. So don't be the elephant who says, years ago, they tied me to this, and they told me I can't do this. You don't know the right people. You don't have your degree. You don't have this skill. You don't have this gifting. No, no, no. I can do it in Christ Jesus. Lord, what have you called me to do? I'm not going to live in that. I'm in Christ. The Spirit of God lives within me, and I'm big enough to go through. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to take communion to bring in the new year. Peter, I didn't ask you before, but can you play and do a song? Or Andrew can, I guess.